This is part B of What Does It Mean to Be Born Again and When? Now let's continue here in Philippians 2 and verse 6. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men, and took the form of a servant, and being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what Jesus did, in love, in service, and giving. That's why, let's finish a few more verses here. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now notice, verse 12 becomes important, which also shows the process of being converted. Verse 12, so then, my brethren, even as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The process of overcoming, the process of renewing our minds. For it is God who works in you. We are God's workmanship, inner working, inner regeneration and renewing of the mind. God works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Now, that is the process of conversion. Now, let's come to Romans 5, and we will see the third step in salvation, which has to be the resurrection. And then we will see how Jesus talks about what it means to be born again, and how he defines it. And then we will ask various questions to see whether we are truly now born again, as Jesus said, or whether that means at the resurrection. Romans 5. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. For even when we were without strength, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly, and we saw the kind of mind that that took, what he took upon himself. Romans 5 and verse 6. So then Paul makes a comparison between what human beings might be able to do to show their love for someone else. Verse 7. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, although perhaps someone might have the courage even to die for a good man. But God commends his own love to us, because when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, therefore, verse 9, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that means the resurrection. So there are three parts to salvation. One, having been saved from Satan and our sins. Two, we are being saved, present tense, as long as we are standing in the gospel and obeying the gospel. Three, we shall be saved, obviously, at the resurrection. Now, let's ask the question, since John is the one who wrote Born Again, let's find out what did Jesus actually mean. Now, in the booklet that will accompany this sermon, if it doesn't accompany this one, it will come with the second sermon. What do you mean, born again and born of God? I go through the particular details as to how That came to be understood, and really it was a preaching and teaching of the early Catholic Church fathers. So let's come to John 3. And as we go through here, let's then ask some questions and to see exactly what it means. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus by name, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. Well, Nicodemus did believe him. Finally, he came out publicly, but for a while he wasn't willing to do so. Right here, he came to him by night, lest he should be seen by others, you see. But they knew that he was sent from God, because no one is able to do the miracles that you are doing unless God is with him. Notice Jesus did not really answer the question. Rather, he told him the ultimate goal of why he was here. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless anyone is born again, and that can mean born anew. What does this mean? Some people say begotten again, because it is the same Greek word. But there are times when it should be begotten and times when it should be born. How do you know which one is which? Well, by the context that we find it. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless anyone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Question. If you are now born again because of baptism, have you seen the kingdom of God? No. If you have seen it, pray tell, where is it? If you are born again, then the kingdom of God has got to be here on earth, and Christ has to be the king of that kingdom. Is that not correct? All right. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So this born again cannot be a baptism experience or event. Let's read on. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man who is old be born? So at least he caught that process. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless anyone has been born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Question. If you have been born again, are you now in the kingdom of God? Because of Catholic doctrine, they say we are now in the kingdom of God if you belong to the Catholic Church. And the Pope is the one who's in charge of the kingdom of God. That's why they say the kingdom of heaven means that when you die, your soul goes to heaven. Now, if the Pope represents Jesus Christ, then Satan the devil will repent and can become converted. But that's an impossibility. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God is not on the earth, how can you enter into it? All right, hold your place here and come to Colossians 1st chapter. We will see you don't enter into it, but you are brought under its jurisdiction through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. You are brought unto, translated unto, or translated, transferred unto the kingdom of God, not into. You can't see it. The church is not the kingdom of God. All right. Colossians 1, Let's pick it up here in verse 9. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, from the day that we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that you may walk worthily of the Lord, which is what? We're to walk in those good works. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing into knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. Still not in the kingdom of God yet, right? Giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified for a share of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness. Ephesians 2, we have been saved from Satan and our sins, and has transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are not yet in the kingdom of God. So when we come back here to John, the 3rd chapter, and it says very clearly that unless you have been born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. What does it mean, born of water? And what does it mean, born of spirit? All right? A lot of people say, well, that's baptism. Not so. Here's the answer and the definition in verse 6. There's the parallel. Born of water. Verse 6. Here's the parallel from verse 5. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. Have you been born of the flesh? Yes. Are you flesh? Yes. How were you born of water then? Because your human birth was not possible without the amniotic fluid or the water from your mother's womb to push you out into the world. You were born of water. And what do they say when a woman is giving birth? They say, has the water broken? Is that correct? Where did you spend your first 9 months of your existence? In the amniotic fluid in your mother's womb. Then you were born of that water. Because Jesus defines being born of water as being born of the flesh. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. Now here's the second part of being born of spirit. That which has been born of the spirit is spirit. So if you have been born again, you must no longer be a physical human being, correct? That which has been born of the Spirit is Spirit. Are you Spirit? How did Jesus behave after He was resurrected from the dead? He walked through the doors and the walls without it hurting Him or damaging the walls. All right? Verse 7. Do not be amazed that I said to you, it is necessary for you to be born again. In other words, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you have been born again. And where he says it's necessary for you to be born again, that means it's obligatory. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. You will have no part of it unless you are born again. Now, let's tie in another scripture with this. If you are born again now, and if you are in the kingdom of God, are you still flesh and blood, though you have the Spirit of God? The answer is, yes, you are. What did Paul say? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So that tells us again, if anyone has been born again, they must be a spirit being. You cannot be flesh and blood. You must be born of the Spirit. All right. Now, verse 8. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear its sound, but you do not know the place from which it comes and the place to which it goes. So also is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. Question. If you consider yourself to be born again, are you invisible? In spite of the movie The Invisible Man. No, you're not. Can you walk through walls? No, you can't. Can you walk through doors? No, you can't. Can you ascend into heaven? No, you can't. You cannot enter it, the kingdom of God, unless you are born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And if you are born again, then you are invisible and can move wherever you desire, no one seeing you, where you're coming from or where you're going. You are just like the wind. That's what Jesus said. So also is everyone who has been born of the Spirit. Now, let's look at three more verses, three more verses, and these three verses will show you the truth concerning born again. Let's come to Matthew 1 and verse 25. Always keep this in mind. Keep these three scriptures in mind. All right? Matthew 1, verse 25. And as we turn here, remember this. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. Now, Reitenbaugh in his sermon said, being firstborn has nothing to do with the birth, but it has to do with preeminence. That's not true. That cannot be. Let's read it here. It is talking about the birth of Christ in the flesh. Verse 25, speaking of Joseph, but he did not have sexual relations with her, that is Mary, until after she had given birth to her son, the firstborn. Does that refer to his birth? Of course. The firstborn. Jesus was born of the flesh, correct? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Was Jesus God manifested in the flesh? Yes. Now, let's look at another scripture here, all right? Revelation 1 and verse 5. Revelation 1 and verse 5. And this absolutely proves that to be born again means, combined with what we've covered here in Gospel of John chapter 3, that no one is born again until the resurrection occurs. Notice this. Verse 5. And from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. When was he born from the dead? When he was resurrected. So Jesus was born again. Firstborn from the dead. Some Protestant is going to say, well, how could Jesus be born again? He never sinned. No, that's true. He never sinned. Because your thought of born again is that sinners need to be born again through a conversion experience. So you've got it all muddled. Was Jesus the one who bore all the sins of the world? Yes, indeed. When was he born again? At the resurrection, born the firstborn from the dead. Now, we can look at some other scriptures, but I will just say these scriptures prove beyond any shadow of doubt that you cannot be born again at the time that you were baptized or received the Holy Spirit. Because, number one, you do not become a spirit being. Number two, you do not enter into the kingdom of God. Number three, you do not see the kingdom of God. You then have a regeneration starting through the washing of the water of the Word and renewal of the Holy Spirit to have your mind converted so that you can develop the mind of Christ. And you will not be born again until the resurrection. This is why in Hebrews 12, the church is called the church of the firstborn. And this is why Jesus is called, Romans 8, the firstborn among many brethren. So, don't be fooled by someone using the Bible to make it appear that you are born again when you are baptized and converted. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.